And good morning. Thank you for the very kind and generous introduction. It's Saturday. It's good to be with you today. It's beautiful outside. I'm looking at the spine of this book right here. It's in a notebook that I have. But I just came across this. It's the first time I've read this. It comes from the Yearbook of Agriculture. And that's 1943 to 1947. And I think it's called Science in Farming. And it says it's published by United States Department of Agriculture. So here's what I don't know. I don't have a copy of the book. All I can do is look at a picture from page number 715. So I don't know. I'm looking at page number 714 and 715. So it doesn't tell me any more than what I can tell you. But let me read this to you right here. To me, this is very, very interesting. And I think there's a lot of people that are listening that this actually is going to be a pretty amazing thing to consider and think about. All right, so just listen to this right here, and we'll talk about it just briefly. Okay. It says, the principal effect of rutin. Now, rutin is a flavonoid compound. It's found in buckwheat. You're going to get a little bit in onions. You get some in apples. You may have heard of the flavonoid compound called quercetin. Well, that's been pretty famous to be used to kind of stop the COVID virus from continuing its replication abilities. That may be important to know. Do you want to get COVID? No. Well, if you do get it, maybe you need to remember quercetin and rutin to kind of stop it from its endless reproduction in your cells. Okay, the principal effect of rutin, when taken into the body, is to restore the strength of the capillary walls when they become weakened. Folks, I just want you to remember that was 1943 to 1947. So that's not exactly 80 years ago, but close to it, isn't it? It says, rutin is a new, cheap, non-poisonous drug. What do they call it a drug for? That comes from buckwheat, it says tobacco, yellow pansies, and at least 35 other plants. Extensive clinical studies of its use in various disease conditions associated with hemorrhage or weak capillaries have demonstrated the value of rutin in medicine. So in 1943, they're not really treating rutin as a natural flavonoid compound that comes from, you know, buckwheat or tobacco. They're calling it a drug. I find that interesting. But I know I get where they're coming from, though, because what they're wanting to do is to find a way for the body to heal. So yesterday, I looked out the window. I saw a gentleman walking across the parking lot, slowly, mind you. And he did not really have a lot of spring in his step, and that's not me being judgy. It's just a simple observation. And I noticed that he had all these bruises on his legs. I ask people all the time, where do these bruises come from? And a lot of times people will tell me, well, Dr. Morgan, I don't even know. I have no idea. Yes, sometimes I know, like I leaned into the kitchen countertop, and that's why I'm bruised on the top of my leg. But the rest of these on the lower half of my body, I have no idea where they came from. And sometimes they'll say, look at this, and they'll show me their upper arm, and it just looks horrible. And so it doesn't really take a genius to figure out when you start seeing bruising all over the place and you start seeing these bloody patches everywhere. Folks, that's when the capillaries, these are the smallest units of your circulation, the teeniest, tiniest blood vessels. Well, folks, they're leaking, and they're breaking, and they're weak. So you don't really have to know a lot about a heart attack or stroke. You just have to understand that the vascular system is breaking down. And so when I can look at the Yearbook of Agriculture, 1943, Science and Farming, and they've come up with this brilliant new drug called rutin, which comes from buckwheat, I'm going, oh my goodness, maybe we should pay attention to this. Now listen to this right here, because this is the next page right here. I think I was on page 714. In case you want to go to the library today and look up the you know, Yearbook of Agriculture 1943 from the United States Department of Agriculture. Well, have at it. And if you find one, let me know so I can come look at it. I want to see what other little beautiful gems that we can uncover from 80 years ago. And the thing of it is, are you telling me that just because they discovered this in 1943, this is not like just old medicine, that it has no value to human beings today? Well, of course not. Of course we can find tremendous, there's a gem in there. Something that's extremely valuable that we can use today. Now, I'm going to read this to you right here. And so I'm just going to quote them word for word. When I read this to you, you're just going to go, are you kidding me? How come my doctor has never told me about this? Well, I may not be your doctor, but I'm teaching you about this, and we can learn together. I'm learning, too, right along with you. Folks, I don't mind telling you, I learn something new from my patients every single day. And I probably teach them something also, but I can learn from them. It is so interesting how you can learn something that you've never, ever heard before just if you have an open mind and an open heart and you're willing to learn. So listen to this right here. It starts off by saying, in patients suffering with high blood pressure. Are you with me on that? Do you know what high blood pressure is? I don't know if you know this or not, but there's an estimate right now that half, can I call that 50% of the adult population in the U.S., is on a high blood pressure medication? That means when you go to church tomorrow morning, if you do, I would encourage you to respect the Lord's Day or the first day of the week. But half the people that are adults are going to be on drugs. And sometimes it might be as simple as one drug, but it could be two. Or if that the two cease to be effective, you know, the body develops tolerance. They no longer work, which there's a reason behind that. It's because they're not addressing the root cause of the problem. They may have to add a third medication, or four, or five. Now, if you asked me, if you said, hey, Dr. Morgan, how often do you see a person that's taken five different blood pressure-lowering drugs? Well, it's not every day, but I bet you I see one every 2 weeks, though. And so you have to ask the question, well, why are they pouring four and five different medications on this? Are they really addressing the root cause of the problem? Well, you tell me. Here's what it says in Science and Farming 1943. In patients suffering from high blood pressure, there is often rupture of weak capillaries. With production of more or less severe hemorrhage. Isn't that what I was sort of referring to? If you see a man walking across the parking lot and he's got bloody hemorrhages all over his skin, folks, that means the capillaries are bursting and breaking. Okay? At times, these accidents occur in the retina and cause partial or even complete blindness. This is 1943, by the way. It may not sound like modern, you know, medical talk, but anyway, several patients suffering from retinal hemorrhage have been treated with Rutin. Really? You mean we might want to resolve a retinal hemorrhage so a person won't go blind? Yeah. Let me say it a different way. What would you say is the most common cause of blindness here in North America? Well, it would be macular degeneration. If you're sitting in your Easy Boy recliner right now, and you've got the television on, and you're just sitting there, and you're listening to the radio program, and you hear me say retinal hemorrhage, well, then you think, well, that explains me. I've got retinal hemorrhage because every month my doctor wants to put a needle in my eye and put some glue into it to stop the hemorrhage from taking place. He wants to weld the leaking blood vessels. Well, you tell me, is that really addressing the root cause of the problem? So let me read that one more time. This is from 1943, the Yearbook of Agriculture. I need you to pay attention so you can learn this. In patients suffering from high blood pressure, there is often rupture of weak capillaries with the production of more or less severe hemorrhage. What's a hemorrhage? You're bleeding out, right? The blood vessels are leaking blood. At times, these accidents occur in the retina, and they cause partial or even complete blindness. Several patients suffering from retinal hemorrhage have been treated with Rutin. Wow, R-U-T-I-N, Rutin. In 83% of the cases, no further rupture of the capillaries occurred. Folks, did you hear that? In 83% of the cases, no further rupture of the capillaries occurred. Now, if you don't mind walking around with bruises all over your legs and, you know, bloody patches of hemorrhaging all over your arms, then you just need to ignore everything I'm saying. Don't listen to me. You can go take all the aspirin you want. That's only going to make it worse. You can take all the drugs you want. That's probably just going to make it worse. It's not going to really fix anything. Or maybe we can learn something from 1943. In 83% of the cases, no further rupture of the capillaries occurred. Bursting blood vessels in the brain lead to apoplexy. Rutin cannot cure the apoplexy once it has occurred, but it may help prevent future attacks. What they're doing is they're talking about a stroke where somebody loses the blood, the oxygen and the nutrition to the brain, and that part of the brain begins to die and it doesn't function. That's called a stroke. Okay, Rutin cannot cure the apoplexy once it has occurred. But so once the part of the brain has essentially died from a stroke, you know, that's it. You can't really get that back. In simple terms. Okay, listen to this right here. In 3 years, no patient receiving Rutin has had an epileptic stroke. Are you kidding me? Dude, if this was the year 2024, there would be, if they had a drug called Rutin, this would be on every billboard in America. Because if you've had a stroke, do you know that would, okay, just think about this for a second. If you have had a stroke, would you guess or make an observation or just use your intelligence, common sense? Do you think you're more likely to have another stroke if you've had one stroke? Or do you think that, hey, now that I've had a stroke, it's like impossible, I'm never going to have a stroke again? Well, no, you know how this works. Look it up for yourself. The more strokes you have, the more risk you have. So if you have a stroke, one stroke, your risk of having another one just goes up exponentially. I can't remember if it's 75%, but it's not good numbers, folks. So listen to this. In 3 years, no patient receiving Rutin has had a stroke, although all were suffering from hypertension and more or less danger of such an accident. I like this simple language they use right here. It says Rutin acts like a vitamin in that it restores these conditions to normal. But the affliction may return if Rutin is discontinued. Folks, this is like a gem. I took my shovel and I started digging into the textbook and look what I came up with. This is like I uncovered some code to healing somebody that's had a stroke. Persons who have had a natural tendency to increase capillary fragility often relapse some weeks after discontinuing the remedy. That means if you bruise like crazy and you take root and all of a sudden the bruising goes away, and you know that's kind of human nature. All of us have to be reminded of the truth. I mean, are you like me? Where sometimes you forget the very thing that you studied in the Bible and you come across it and go, oh, I thought I remembered reading that. That's like kind of important. Well, I'm reminding you right now. So if you ask me, what is the number one healthcare cost or where do we spend all our healthcare dollars? Oh, my goodness. It's going to be on taking care of stuff like pulmonary embolisms, deep venous thrombosis, heart attacks, strokes. Guess what they're caused by? They're caused by blood vessels breaking because of a clot. And here we have this substance called Rutin. I just uncovered this. Isn't that amazing what you can learn if you just dig for it? That's great. Anyway, I had no plan on talking about this morning. Somebody was just trying to call. If you want to call me on the radio, you can do it right now, and I'll pick you up. I'll push the button. The number's 903-589-8507. Hey, let's study this together. This is really fun to talk about, because what you're doing is you're providing a solution that's extremely non-toxic. It's just a flavonoid. If you want to say it's a vitamin that's found in stuff like, you know, buckwheat or onions or apples, then that would be true. Okay, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning to you. Thanks for your call.
Yes. I have a question about last week you were talking about triglyceride glucose index.
Yeah.
And I'm a health nut, so I went back and I have records for many years of blood tests. And I just went back 4 years my index was 2.18, 1.81.
Well, I'm going to let's put that to the test. What was your triglyceride number?
It was 49 and 38.
38? What do you mean 49 and 38?
Well, I mean, it's in the blood test, they just give you a number, I guess, in milligrams per thousand. Or, you know, when you get your blood test from the lab.
You gave me two numbers, though. Are you saying one date it was 49 and the other date it was 38?
Yeah, in 2020 it was 49. In 21 it was 38.
That's
and then I moved. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, now I understand why you said those two numbers.
Yeah, and my glucose was 89 in 2020 and 95 in 2021.
49 times 89 equals 4,361 divided by 2,000.
2.18.
Oh, my goodness, you are a mathematical genius. That's correct.
Right.
Man, that's like a good number.
I did it in 2021, and it was 1.81. And then I moved to Tyler 3 years ago, and my next blood test, my triglycerides were 85, and my glucose was 95, which gave me a 4.04 index.
Well, what
last year?
You tell me what happened.
I don't know what happened. I don't know. My weight hasn't changed. Nothing has really changed. You know, I'm 81 years old, so I don't have any other.
Well, that's one thing that has changed. You're 3 years older.
Right, exactly, and that's what I'm asking you. And then last year, 2023, my triglycerides went up to 126, and my glucose went down a little bit at 89. So now my index is 5.61.
Okay, can I ask you some simple questions, but they may seem like I'm going off rail in a different direction.
Sure.
Do you day in and day out consume what's called cod liver oil or fish oil?
I eat salmon once a week.
I'm sorry, let me ask the question one more time.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you day in, day out consume cod liver oil? That means, do you purposely, as part of a routine or a regimen, take cod liver oil? Do you?
No.
Okay, you realize I did not ask you if you eat salmon once a week. You got that, don't you?
Right.
I don't know why people do that to me. I ask people questions all day long, and they'll give me 35,000 answers that don't even they're not even relevant. Okay,
well,
so
I thought the omega-3 fatty acids might qualify.
They do. Are you taking those?
Well, no, I get it in salmon, right?
All right, I'm very sorry. The question that I asked you was, do you take omega-3
no.
fatty acids? Okay, so I think we're on the same page now, right?
Right.
All right, so what I'm going to suggest to you is that if we did like a research or literature search on this, we might find out that omega-3 fatty acids play a very interesting role in trying to maintain the integrity of all the cell membranes of the body. And so if you start getting a lesser percentage, you'll have to forgive me, I'm going to give you a broad range right here. There was one study where all they did was they looked at the percentage of omega-3 fatty acids found in the red blood cell membranes, and they have a simple test. All you do is just kind of prick the side of your finger with a small needle. Obviously, once it's been cleaned, you know, probably don't want to do that after playing with the dog and digging in the garden. But as, once you get a drop of blood, they have you put it on this, looks like a piece of cardboard slide with a ring around it, but you just let your blood dry there and you send it to the laboratory. And they know that about the average American percentage of omega-3 fatty acids in your red blood cells or your cell membranes is right around 4%. But they know that if you get that up to 8%, your health drastically improves, or all the markers of your health improve. And when you get that up to like 10%, it's like you're even better than what you were at 8%. And I can't speak on this, but I'm almost positive in the past that I read something about some people, they are so good about consuming omega-3 fatty acids, they may get that red cell membrane percentage up to about 12%. And all I'm suggesting is when you lack omega-3 fatty acids, and really the point that I'm building toward is this right here, it may be that you're actually lacking something that your body needs to stay in good working order. You might be deficient in something.
Okay.
So you probably have a deficiency that you just haven't uncovered or figured out. Meaning,
yeah,
when you give your body what it needs, all of a sudden it can work properly. I know this is a poor analogy, but if I put 90% gas and 10% water in your fuel tank, sure, it may run, but it's going to run horribly, right?
Right.
But if I use like 93, you know, high octane, 100% gasoline, it's probably going to run like a champ. So if these ratios are changing and they're going up, do we have to wait till that ratio gets to 10 before you have a problem before we take action? Or maybe can we just talk about it and decide, I wonder what I'm low in. So you already know what I'm going to tell you, right? Why don't you look take into taking, yeah.
Take the cod liver oil.
Man, you learn fast. I hope everyone listening picks up on what you just said. You just solved the mystery. Start taking the very thing that my body might be deficient in. And the other part of it is, it all gets harder as you age. It just does.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's called aging. I don't have to explain that probably.
No.
Do you have any spider veins or broken blood vessels around your ankles?
Nope, nothing.
Oh, man, that's great then. So you got all these things working right.
I don't have any bruises either, capillaries.
Oh, yeah.
In good shape.
Man.
I don't take any prescription medication whatsoever.
Oh, man, that's awesome. See, you've done a bunch of things right. Another thing that I would consider because of the role that it plays on triglycerides is magnesium.
Okay.
I don't have the research right in front of me, but it's almost like a borderline drug how effectively it works. Do you take magnesium every day? And before you answer the question, I don't want you to say that you eat kale once a week and that's your answer. You know I'm just teasing with you, don't you?
Of course.
Do you take magnesium?
No, I don't take anything.
I heard you say that about pharmaceutical drugs, but this
right.
But I know, I understand now with that comment, you don't take any supplements.
Well, I do. I take glucosamine, chondroitin.
Oh, that's smart.
And I take 5,000 units of vitamin D3 every day.
Okay.
That's the only two things I take every day.
If your triglycerides are 180, what are they now? Triglycerides 126.
126, yeah.
And your glucose is 89.
Yeah, correct.
The other thing that I would look at, there's one marker on that same, a different blood panel, excuse me. It's called MCV. That's on the complete blood count, and MCV is just an acronym for mean corpuscular volume. And I really like that number to be below 93. As that goes up above 93, say 94, 95, 96, that means your system is not methylating well. That might point toward potentially a buildup of either too much ferritin. So if I was trying to solve this right here, one thing that I would do is I would have a blood test where they measure your ferritin levels. Ferritin is, I'm going to spell it, F-E-R-R-I-T-I-N, ferritin. The other one that you need to look at, to make it simple, it's called fasting insulin. I don't like to see fasting insulin above the number 5. I had a lady the other day, hers was 3. I said, ma'am, this is like the best one I've ever seen this whole month. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. So if you had ferritin measured, fasting insulin measured, I think it would be very smart to look at what's called uric acid. And so those are 3 things that you can look at very easily. But if you look at your lab test and it shows that your mean corpuscular volume is above 93, that may partially explain this. That means the blood's getting a little bit dirtier. You're not able to detoxify and break things down as well. So how do we remedy that? Well, if your ferritin's high, it may be as simple as donating blood, and you might even notice that all your metrics improve for the better.
Okay.
So there's got to be other clues in there, but, you know, this is radio. I can't see everything over the radio.
Oh, I understand that, yep. All right, well, I thank you for your help. I'm going to look at that MCV. I'm not sure what that number is.
But yeah, it'll say on your test.
So cod liver oil.
Yes, supplemental magnesium.
In pill form.
Well, that's the way that I prefer it, and one of the reasons why is they preserve the integrity of the oil. I think the one that I use, they use a little bit of the essential oil of rosemary and lemon to act as an antioxidant that keeps the oil from turning rancid. You would not like me if you got some rotten cod liver oil and all you're doing is burping and belching and passing gas nonstop. You'd say Dr. Morgan sabotaged me. So I like it in a gel cap because it's sealed from oxygen. And so that's a pretty simple technology that we have now that makes it easy to get you some good high-quality cod liver oil.
All right. I thank you for your help.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I listen to your program all the time.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, doctor.
All right. Have a good day, buddy. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
All right. There's a phone line open, 903-589-8507. The other day, I asked a woman a question. I said, are you pretty good about drinking water? And she said, well, I try. And I said, well, what does that mean? Anyway, 20 questions later, she doesn't drink water at all. It's just Diet Coke. Good morning. Welcome to the program, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm great.
Good.
Just turn your radio off.
Okay. Is that better?
Well, I'm thinking, yes, it is now.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Question on magnesium. I'm on my feet a lot, and I've been getting hamstring cramps, and I was wondering if there was a particular magnesium that might help me with some of my hamstring cramps that I've been getting.
I think the last 5 people that have come to see me, and their number one complaint was, I can't take the leg cramps anymore, Dr. Morgan. I'm miserable. And I get everything from my sleep is horrible. All I'm doing is shifting and moving. I have to get up with bad cramps and Charlie horses. The one form of magnesium, and I know this is not a direct answer, I apologize. The product is by standard process. It's called Easy Mag. It's just like a capital E, capital Z, and then Mag. M-A-G.
Okay. Okay.
So, but that's not what your doctor's ever going to look at, because it doesn't have a name behind it like magnesium oxide or magnesium, you know, citrate. He's not going to understand it. They might, but it's just made of one particular plant. It's made from buckwheat.
Okay.
And so what they do is they rely on the plant itself to pull magnesium from the topsoil, and that way when they take the plant and they run it through this machine, which I don't know if it takes 1 minute or 2 minutes, they're able to get the moisture out of it, and they put it in a tablet instantly to preserve all the nutrients. But I've seen that work wonders for people with horrible cramping of their legs. But I'm usually, I mean, if a person's really in a lot of pain, they're pretty motivated, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. That's hamstring cramp is, yeah. That's a new experience.
I wouldn't wish that on my enemy.
No. And then, you know, I'm just trying to drink more water before I go to work. So I think that's helping me not being dehydrated. So
if I told you there's a type of a salt called Celtic or Celtic salt, have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of that, yes.
If you would use that as your salt on your food, or if your wife made a bowl of soup for you, or you had, you know, mashed potatoes, if you put Celtic salt on it, that's going to help change the mineral balance of your body for the better.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a home run for you. I really do.
Okay, so you said Easy Mag.
Yeah.
Can you get that any pharmacy?
Some pharmacies have it. You can get it online. I go through so many bottles of the stuff, it's just almost unbelievable.
You said it was standard process?
The standard process. So this is 100, and it's more expensive than regular ones, but for sure, when you look at the price of it. So, but it's going to be made 100% from organic buckwheat.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just from a plant. And did God design us to get our nutrients from real food?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I agree with you.
The more we've been looking at what they're putting in our foods, I'm just, I can't believe that they're doing that to us.
No, I'm with you on that. It's, if you ever look at there was a guy that died recently. I think his name was Morgan Spurlock. And I don't mean this disrespectfully at all, but he did a thing one time where all he did was for breakfast, lunch, and supper is eat at McDonald's to see what would happen to him. Well, the guy just died. And in my mind, I'm wondering, he might have been poisoned by so many chemicals. If you want to say fungicides, glyphosate, Roundup, this chemical, that chemical, all the MSG, you just keep going and going. You're going, those chemicals have nothing. They have no nutritional value. What they really are is they're just poisons or toxins.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely.
And I think he died of like a lymphoma or a leukemia or something like that. I'd have to look it up, so I hope I don't get it too far off. But all that's just being poisoned.
Yeah, we've been trying to grow vegetables, and we're trying to eat. We've just got a small garden. It's not very big.
Yeah, but that's great.
More out of it than just, you know, this. And you go, and they said the more ingredients on a package, stay away from it.
Man, you know, ain't. That's a good advice.
Interesting.
Well, yeah. It's right now. Where's your garden located?
Just backyard.
Okay. Can I get the GPS coordinates? Because it sounds interesting. Like I might want to come there. And do you have any squash right now?
We have a lot of zucchini. So,
well, that would work. I'm easy to please. Yeah. So if you'll get me the GPS coordinates.
All right. Well, I'll send it to you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good day. Bye. Bye-bye. What do you... Okay, let me focus here. Am I supposed to be serious all the time? You don't really care if I cut up a little bit, do you? Okay, the number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Let's find out what this caller has to say. Good morning. Thank you for your phone call.
Oh, good morning. A couple of weeks ago, you were talking about dry eye.
Yes, ma'am.
And you talked about pycnogenol.
Yes, ma'am.
And blueberry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And then there was a name that you gave for the type of supplement.
Oh no, you're not going to ask me the name of the brands.
I am.
No, you know what? I can look it up for you, but I don't remember it. But I can tell you what it had. It had French maritime pine bark. So if I can tell you the ingredients, would that be as close? So it contained what's called grapeseed extract.
Okay,
and I want to say, yes, grapeseed extract. It had maritime French pine bark extract. That's just a fancy word for an extract from pine tree bark. Duh. And then they had a substance called pycnogenol, but that's what they used very successfully at correcting dry eyes.
Okay, so.
But I don't remember the name. It was French. I think the company was. I think the company was Pepe Le Pew. that's a joke. Anyway.
I got that. Okay. Okay. Well, so it has pycnogenol, grapeseed, and pine bark.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
So it didn't have, what's the bilberry? Because I remember bilberry.
Yeah, it was bilberry, which is like a close cousin of the blueberry. But to me, I'm not going to be nitpicky. If you told me that you wanted to eat some blueberries every day, I'd say that's just as good as bilberries.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll go see if I can find it.
All right, sounds good.
I found the pycnogenol, but I didn't. But that's all that I found.
Well, and I think there was absolutely no harm in trying that. It's not like you're going to have, like, a stroke from taking pycnogenol. But that stuff is so good at strengthening the arteries and the blood flow. And that's one of the ways that I believe it works, is by greatly improving oxygen nutrition delivery by better circulation.
Because when I asked the lady at the health food store, she said, well, yeah, some fella came in here and he uses it for his heart problem.
And well, anytime you improve blood flow, you improve the heart, right?
Okay, absolutely. All right. I'll try it.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your call today. I appreciate you, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bye-bye. She sounds like such a sweet lady. I don't think I've ever met her before. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. And good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. I was wondering if you have any idea about what causes or how to get rid of moles, M-O-L-E-S, not in your yard. But
no, if they were in the yard, a coyote would be the solution to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that it just one just appeared a few months ago, and it appeared that it was just a pimple. But after going to the dermatologist, he said there was nothing you can do. And excuse me, but it seems like there's more.
It's okay.
More coming up. So.
I know this is not the direct answer to your question, but one thing that I would think of is you've got to start asking yourself the question, is there anything that's different? Do I see any other changes in my body also? Or is it just that moles are starting to come up all of a sudden? So can you think, if you just take a look at yourself, is there anything within your body, and this is just like a broad general question, that you think is in disrepair? Is there anything that's not working as well as it should be working? Any system. It could be the digestive tract. It could be the circulatory system. It could be even hormones. I always think that hormones are an issue when it comes to moles. That's kind of why I'm asking that.
Yeah. Well,
can I ask a different question?
Yeah.
Are you very pleased with the overall look of your skin? Do you like your skin?
Well, usually my skin is fine. So,
okay, so there's no major changes in your skin where your skin is, you know, when I say creepy, I just mean like...
No.
I don't mean like a horror movie.
Smooth. Yeah, it doesn't...
Okay, that's good.
I honestly don't think it's... I don't know, but it's just weird that there's these little bumps under the skin in different places.
Now, what do you mean they're under the skin? They're like under that layer and they're pushing up toward the top?
Yeah, like when you touch it, you can feel a little, kind of like a circle bump under there.
Okay, are they discolored at all? Like, are they red or cherry colored?
Now, just recently, there's some that have turned... You can't see them necessarily, but there's when you look at, you can't see the bump, but you can see a little red spot. Now, that's not what happened to the first one. The first one came up like a pimple-like thing.
Did the doctor do any blood tests of any kind to kind of look at what's going on internally in your blood?
No, he just said it was normal and come back in a year.
Okay, You could always try applying castor oil to to these bumps and just be very faithful with it over time and see if they begin to diminish. And, of course, I think just about everybody listening to this program would probably say, yes, we agree that God has designed the body to heal itself and to rejuvenate if you give it the right circumstances. Just like if I asked a man if he eats, if he consumes cod liver oil, and you know, and if he doesn't every day, we might want to correct that by giving the body an optimal amount of omega-3 fatty acids. And so when it comes to the skin, I can tell you some things that you need to kind of thoughtfully consider. I'm going to go in a little bit different direction. Your liver is the organ system that's constantly monitoring what's going on within the skin. So sometimes my mind goes toward the liver or the kidneys if there's an issue with the skin. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Are you taking any medications whatsoever as far as a pharmaceutical drug?
No.
Oh, wow.
I used I used to take a thyroid medicine, but I ran out of it a couple some years ago, three or four years ago, and I never got it renewed. And whenever I had blood work last, I don't know, probably 8 or so months ago, they said I didn't need it. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Man, that's great. Look at that. Yeah. That's wonderful. See, there, that's an example of your body's able to self-correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so if it comes to the skin, I think of omega-3 fatty acids as being, like, really, really important to maintaining the integrity. Now, I read this article about 2 weeks ago. I never talked about it on the radio, but they're talking about when people consume green tea or even black tea, it's very, very protective against developing any skin problems. And to me, that was kind of interesting. In one of the studies, they're purposely trying to get women to burn their skin to see who's going to come out with the least amount of damage. And the ones that drink green tea, or if they have a higher intake of beta carotenes or carotenoids, those would be those brightly colored pigments that you found in things like watermelon, sweet potatoes. Do you like to eat sweet potatoes?
Yes, I do.
Or if somebody said, we bought some mangoes on sale, would you like to have a mango? I would say yes. But mangoes are very, very rich in those carotenoids, and those are things that directly impact the health of the skin. So the skin itself requires all these different nutrients. One of them would be vitamin A, but that's kind of one of the reasons why I mentioned cod liver oil so much, is because cod liver oil is a rich source of good, high-quality vitamin A. It's an animal source, though. Not the same as the carotenoids that come from a sweet potato, but nonetheless, it's very good for the skin. And so your skin wants to drink up these nutrients in order to maintain its integrity. So I would still look and see if there's something that might be slightly out of balance. Are you aware of anything out of balance on your blood work at all?
You know, I forgot about, I was going to try to look it up and let you know if it said anything, but I forgot to look it up.
That's okay.
In the past, I have had my liver enzymes out of balance, but
yeah.
It seemed like there was something that was a little bit off, but they said basically it was off. Now, that wasn't the skin doctor, you know, that was the regular doctor.
No, that's a different one. Well, and I guess what I'm explaining is I think that the liver and the skin are connected at the hip.
Yes.
They both work together as a team. So your liver harbors a large responsibility for keeping your skin in good working order. I mean, it's very complex. I am not saying I understand all of it, but what I would point toward is the healthier that your liver is, the better condition your skin's going to be. That's what I'm saying. So when you take things that are naturally very, very good for the liver, and I'll just kind of, can I give you like a list, but not in order?
Yes.
Dandelion root, its scientific name is called Taxicum officinalis. When you see the word officinalis, that means it's the real deal. It really, really works. But I think any skin condition, I would be foolish if I did not recommend dandelion root tea or eating dandelion greens. Another one that I think of all the time, actually, before I say the word of it, it's an herb called Spanish black radish. Okay. Do you know what sediment is? Like, if you had a glass of water and it was a clear, clean glass, and you had your one-year-old granddaughter come up to it after having a mouthful of crackers, what would it look like at the bottom of the water after she took a sip out of your glass of water? There'd be cracker sediment, wouldn't there?
Right.
I know, that sounds kind of gross, doesn't it? But our bodies are the same way. When we produce energy, we give off this metabolic waste or sediment. And as we age, that starts to build up. Now, my sales pitch to you this morning would be, consider the herb or the vegetable called Spanish black radish. Because it's most amazing in its ability to help remove the buildup of sediment. It's almost like if we took that glass of water with crackers in it, and we could filter it out and make it pure and clean again. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's possible after a one-year-old touches it. But so, Spanish black radish, that's something that you could do to get you to a better place so your body does a much better job. If I use the word detoxification, I just mean enhancing the normal processes of your liver and your kidneys and skin at removing waste. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Can I tell you the people that I see that are super healthy?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to describe them. They're outdoors. And what that means is they're exposed to heat and to hot winds and to heat coming off the earth, and that causes them to sweat. What would you think? Who would you think is the healthiest person? The person that sits indoors all day long, and they're just sitting on their computer, and they're on Facebook, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. Or is it the person that gets outside and sweats?
Yeah, probably the outside person.
Oh, of course, yeah, because that's one of the ways that you get rid of toxic waste. It actually comes to the skin. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. You actually, and you know, before I came on the air, I was reading an article about people that just stay indoors all day long and they use a lot of sunscreen. Well, guess what? You're going to have the highest risk of what's called a malignant melanoma. It's good to perspire and sweat. That's why saunas are so good, and working in the garden when it's sunny out is really good, and exercise is really, really good. Because if you don't sweat and perspire, what's going to happen? You're just going to have a boatload of toxins that stay stuck in your body, and they continue to stay in circulation. Some of them are probably stored in the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I've seen so many people, once they start using like an infrared sauna, I've seen their skin literally go from pretty, pretty dull, pretty bad looking, to just beautiful and glowing and radiant.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've had elevated liver enzymes at one point, that's where dandelion root, Spanish black radish comes in really handy. Forever and a day, people have been taking like little liver pills just from calf liver. If I mention eating liver and onions one more time, people are going to turn the radio off and never listen to me again. They probably get sick of hearing me say that. But that's good for you. So if you had like a clean glass of water and we had a fresh lemon that you could squeeze into it, that's really good for your skin and your water. I mean, for and your liver.
Mm-hmm.
I love apple cider vinegar. I think it's like a wonder tonic. So every cup of tea or water that you drink, put a splash of vinegar in it.
Okay.
I'm talking about the stuff that looks like dirty, cloudy sediment at the bottom of it where you got to shake it up.
Right.
This lady asked me yesterday, she said, does apple cider vinegar go bad? And I thought, what do you mean? She said, I got one that's 2 years old. I said, give it to me. I'll drink it. I think it's still good. That's like if you had some sauerkraut in the refrigerator and the expiration date was 2023. Well, the chances are it's still going to be like really, really good, potent stuff. Or if you had some kimchi or yogurt that was out of date. Well, it's supposed to be fermented.
Right.
So I would look at trying to support your liver and your kidneys. I really think the more that you go outside and you sweat and perspire, you're doing your skin a huge favor.
Mm-hmm.
But skin health has a lot to do with omega-3 fatty acids. It really does.
Okay.
Do you know what Botox is?
Yes. I've never had it, but...
Well, I guarantee you, I've never had it. So we agree. We've never had Botox. But you know, the point I'm going to make is a lot of women, and now we got all these men. Sometimes it's men that have their fingernails painted. I probably shouldn't have said that, but anyway. You know what? If you're a man and you want to paint your fingernails hot pink, that's your business. I'm not. It doesn't affect me at all. So
right.
Botox is extremely popular to try to prevent wrinkling. I remember telling a lady, because we were looking at it, she asked me a question, and there's a lot of times I just don't know the answer exactly, so I have to go look it up. But we were looking at the particular herb or plant. It's known as Go-To Cola. You ever heard of Go-To Cola?
I have not.
Well, it's one of the rare herbs that's shown to be somewhat beneficial and good for treating leprosy. And so... Maybe that's like a stretch talking about leprosy, but you know that leprosy would be a horrible skin condition, right?
Yes.
But a lot of the doctors that do this for a living, they actually call Go-To Cola Botox in a bottle.
Oh, wow.
Because if it's not in one day, it's not the same as spending like $2,000 for a Botox injection. Because if mm-hmm. you buy Go-To Cola, it doesn't work in one nanosecond. If you're mm-hmm. consistently taking it over like several months, that's where you start to see a significant, you know, improvement in the skin.
Okay.
But it is. It's like an amazing healing device or herb or plant. I think it's phenomenal.
So, yeah, you can just get that at the granary?
Well, I haven't been there to look for it, but I bet you they have it.
Okay. But go-to cola.
Go-to cola. That's right.
Okay.
I didn't say go drink a Coca-Cola. That's not what
right.
I said. Yeah, go-to cola.
Okay. And I think I've gotten everything written down, except I forgot to write down, what did you say to put on it, to rub on it?
Castor oil.
Castor oil. Oh, that's right.
Yes, ma'am.
And
but literally, if you got a lot of moles coming up under the skin, I really believe that's an internal issue. It's just pinpointing, is this because of a weakness of the gallbladder or the liver or the kidneys or the other organ system that I always look at? If I say right. that your colon is like a sewage treatment plant, I don't mean to be offensive and tell people they have a lot of waste, but I mean, you have these systems in the body that are trying to recycle water and remove waste. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like when you go to the bathroom in the morning, that's a good thing to pass your urine and then to go poop, because you mm-hmm. want to make sure that your body stays clean. That's one of the reasons why our women that go to the bathroom 6 times a week or less, that means they only have a bowel movement 6 times a week or less, that's the highest level of breast cancer across the board. And so if a woman poops every day, she's lessening her risk of developing breast cancer, because if you don't go poop regular, what happens? You reabsorb all the toxic waste because it's just staying in your body too long. Does that make sense?
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever heard of somebody saying, I go to the bathroom once a week? I have many times.
Oh, wow.
That's downright scary, isn't it?
That is.
Anyway, so sunbathing, sweating, very good for you. Feeding and nourishing your liver, really, really good for you. I also think with skin conditions, that may be a protein issue. So do you like to eat plenty of protein?
I do. I like meat.
Oh, good. Because if I wanted to make these, I wanted to make your skin worse. I know how to do that. That's called eating more sugar and refined junk food. The more processed foods that you eat... I could have said smoking cigarettes. Yeah, I'll throw that in there, too. Don't smoke cigarettes.
Okay. I haven't yet, so I don't think I'll start now.
I think you've made a good decision.
But the sugar, it does sometimes call my name. But
do you think Well, do you think you could write down on a sheet of paper that the next don't eat sugar but eat blueberries instead, or strawberries, or fruit?
Yes. Yes, and I love fruit too, so
And the very best fruit is going to be the berries. They're so nutrient dense. I could have an entire 10-hour podcast if I wanted to. I could go from blueberries to the benefits of strawberries to cherries to raspberries to blackberries. I just read an article the other day that when people consume blackberries, the occurrence of macular degeneration just completely, the risk goes down big time.
Wow.
I didn't give a number because I didn't remember. It's like 74% or something like that.
Oh, wow.
I hate to admit this to you, so I hope nobody's listening, but I don't always remember every article perfectly that I read. Sometimes I have to reread them.
I understand.
No, it's just, I think it's, do you know anybody that has a perfect photographic memory? It sure is not me.
No, don't know anyone.
I tell you what, I heard a guy on the internet the other day give an interview, and I thought, that guy is smart. His name is Elon Musk. Just listening to his comments, he made some very intelligent arguments. I thought, I was impressed. I just heard one of them, though, so. Anyway, but I hope these things help you very, very much.
Thank you. Have you ever heard of molds going away?
Yeah, that's why I mentioned castor oil. Okay. Sorry, I didn't flesh that topic out, but yeah, there's plenty of people that if they do it for months, they can make them disappear just with castor oil.
Okay.
Bean oil.
Right. Like you can putting it on like 3 times a day or...
Or once at night when you go to bed, something like that.
Okay. Okay, great.
So yeah, I'm sorry I didn't flesh that topic out for you, but in my mind, I meant to tell you that. I just didn't get around to it. Yeah, but applying castor oil topically, I've seen them disappear with that.
Okay, great.
You do realize I am not trying to overpromise anything to you. I'm just telling you the truth of what I see.
Well, I figure there has to be something, you know, to do, because the doctor said, it just happened. There's nothing you can do. I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Well, it makes sense to them.
Okay.
And that if there's nothing you can do, the only solution you can do is go to a dermatologist and have more treatments, right?
Well, but he didn't even do anything. He just said, come back in a year.
Well, okay, and then that tells you what the whole plan is. Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Right.
Anyway, I'll let you go, but thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks a bunch. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think the most disturbing thing that I talked to a lady about, she was so sweet too. Oh my goodness. Sometimes I come across people that they're just like emotionally pleasant. They're so sweet. But this woman was at her wit's end, but she was telling me about how this doctor, a gastroenterologist, is taking care of her. And I'm just going with her story, but I thought that she was most legitimate at every turn. It all made sense. And plus, she had all the documents where I could look at everything. But basically, and I know this doesn't sound good, but that she concluded that the doctor was only interested in doing experimental research on her by kind of shoving her into, just forcing her into these research facilities for doing experimental medication. And I asked her, I said, how did you get all this horrible problem? She said, I didn't have them until I did the experimental research. How many ones did you have? I had 5 of them. Anyway, I hate that. I absolutely do. Folks, you're created in God's image. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have absolutely great, great value. Your value is worth more than the entire world. I don't want you to be a human guinea pig just because there's a doctor that wants to make a whole bunch of money off of you by getting kickbacks and bonuses. Anyway.